everybody. This is Dan Jarms, and this is the podcast, One Simple Truth. On One Simple Truth, we take issues that are pressing on us today, and we look at them according to God's all-sufficient word. In the month of October, we're looking at the Christian's role in government and politics, especially since there is an election coming. It's on everybody's mind, and so I thought it would be helpful if we could think through things biblically and establish some clarity. And what we did yesterday was start setting some foundational principles, and I want to repeat that today. Yesterday, we talked about the Christian is first a citizen of heaven, second a citizen of a nation. Today, we want to talk about the existence of government, why God made it good, how to handle the fact that it is corrupt and largely influenced by satanic powers, how we handle that, and how we see believers act in the Bible. Okay, let's grab a cup of coffee. I had a Starbucks iced coffee, light ice, two pumps of classic. That's how I order it at the drive-thru. Cheap drink, and I think it's yummy. Hope you have something good. Okay, let's talk about those important first principles that I want to repeat maybe 20 times. We are first citizens of heaven. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." In other words, he doesn't get his legitimacy or his power from any kings or kingdoms of this world. His kingdom is from above, and his power is from above. And that kingdom is yet to come in full. And the Apostle Paul says this very directly. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior. And that Savior is going to come and change our lowly bodies into immortal bodies, and he is going to take his place on the earth. So we are first citizens of that, and second citizens of an earthly country, an earthly nation. Now, God made nations, and he made them good, and we would see the creation of nations in Genesis 10. We would see the fulfillment of the purpose of the nations, which is every tribe and tongue and nation and language giving praise to God around the throne of God. So God has made nations and made them good, and he has made governments to rule them, and he has made them good also. Governments starting in Genesis 9 have very important roles to restrain evil, to uphold justice, provide defense. So Genesis 9, we have the first laws that promote capital punishment. In other words, that punish people who murder because life is valuable. You'll find just standout segments in 2 Samuel 23 when David talks about the blessings of a government that's run with justice and equity. It provides a blessing to the people. And Psalm 72 talking about the righteousness of God, and assorted psalms talking about what government's role is. But the key one for us in the New Testament is Romans 13, talking about all governments instituted by God. The good ones, that is, are instituted to punish the evildoer, to uphold the good. And whatever that good is in alignment with what God's revealed in his word. And so God's made government to restrain evil, uphold justice, provide defense, promote order, establish certain freedoms. You know, we have property, we have the ability to make livelihood. So there are economic freedoms that are put into the scriptures, the social freedoms. But in general, government promotes order, social and economic order. So government's created good. We all know that there is a problem, however, and the Apostle Paul equally speaks about that. He speaks about the powers and the principalities, the rulers in the heavenly places, and he had in mind a demonic hierarchy run by the ruler of this world that influences rulers of nations. And Paul speaks about those in Ephesians chapter 1 and again in Ephesians chapter 3. And then much earlier in the Bible, this is the general tenor of nations against God. In Psalm chapter 2, the psalmist asks, "Why do the nations rage, and why do the rulers plot and scheme against the Lord and against his anointed?" So there has always been a war against God's anointed and the Lord from the nations of this world that have been seduced, and in a sense, they're puppets of the satanic realms. But does that mean government is entirely hopeless? No, actually, it does not mean that at all, because you find a variety of situations in the Bible where there are believers and there are large quantities of believers who are in government, run government, and create a very positive impact and spiritual impact in the world. So if we were to look across Israel's history, Israel was established as a theocracy where priests and the king shared power over different areas of life. We would see King David established in a godly way, the Davidic line, but the nation of Israel. We would find rulers like Hezekiah and Josiah, as key figures. Josiah stands out as one who established great reforms after a very wicked grandfather and father, and made a huge difference in the nation of Israel. We would find God working in foreign governments, if foreign meant or international governments. Foreign meant not Israel at the time. He had sovereign placement of rulers like Nebuchadnezzar and Darius, who at some point acknowledged the God of heaven as the ultimate God. There were rulers who worked out God's plans. Cyrus, Ahasuerus, for instance, Esther became queen and preserved the life of God's people in Israel. And so stories are replete. So there are great rulers of the nations that God has saved and God has used in key times. In the New Testament, we find many what theologians call lesser magistrates, the greater magistrate, let's say a king or a monarch, in our case, a president. There'd be lower magistrates, and you would see people who had lower positions of authority who were believers. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea are most notable. They cast probably some of the few no votes on the vote to crucify Jesus. They were both believers. Joseph of Arimathea is a direct statement that he did not consent to what the Sanhedrin had done, but they exercised some influence, and because of that influence, were able to give Jesus a proper or honorable burial. In Acts 13, in the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul on the island of Cyprus, proconsul Sergius Paulus became a believer. In Corinth, one of the rulers of the synagogues, Crispus, became a believer. So we're going to find across the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, believing rulers who made a positive impact, a spiritual impact, not only among the people they worked with, but for the people of God. So, yes, governments are made good by God. Yes, they're corrupt, and there are believers. So, can a believer serve in elected office? Can a believer serve in an appointed office, let's say as a judge? Can a believer be involved in the government? And we would see that the answer's got to be yes, because God put an awful lot of them in positions of influence in the Bible. So, there are many reasons. We have to recognize the limited power of believers in government, and meaning believers in government can't change anybody's hearts. They can preach the gospel and see other people become followers of Christ. They can, through their moral influence, pass laws that uphold justice and protect a nation, that restrain evil. But one of the important lessons about these realities maybe comes from the books of the Kings, and the greatest reformer in the Old Testament was Josiah. And one of the things that we should notice, that even after his great reforms, and his high priest was his co-laborer in this event for reforms at the time, and as soon as Josiah died and his son takes over, within literally 1 or 2 years, the path to idolatry reemerges, and a wickedness reemerges from the nation as bad as Manasseh, who was the worst king in Israel's history for idolatry and immorality and social injustice. And this picks right back up. Why is that an important lesson for us? Because people can, Christians can be involved in government, but they can't change anybody's hearts. Only the gospel of God through the power of the Holy Spirit in answer to the sovereign will of God can change anyone. So is it good to be involved in government? Absolutely. Daniel made important contributions. Joseph made important contributions. And yet we have to weigh that out. Now, can you vote for people in government? Absolutely. Since this is a constitutional republic, you have the ability to vote at a variety of levels for a variety of governing officials. And if your vote is to restrain evil, uphold justice, provide defense, promote order, to establish certain freedoms, and protect the social and economic welfare of your fellow man, these are all good causes. And since you are born into, by God's providence, a constitutional republic with the ability to vote, you can have your say in this as well. This gives us some foundation. We have more foundations to talk about, and we're going to talk about tomorrow, get a little more specific on the limits of political activism, as well as address some common myths about political action. You might be listening today, and you have come from some kind of background where government is all evil, so why bother being involved? You might come from some background where Christians say, evangelism only, politics never, or the reverse, politics primarily or evangelism. We're going to correct some of those. Wayne Grudem has a helpful section in his book on politics and the Bible, and we're going to look at some of those tomorrow as well. They will be helpful building blocks for us. If you have questions, you can send a note at info@fbchurch.org. If there's something you specifically want me to address, I would be happy to address it. I've already started to get some questions, and that's very helpful. Hopefully this is helpful about your thinking through this. That's one simple truth.